Every year, the Special Inspector General for Afghanistan Reconstruction, or SIGAR, assembles a high-risk list. It outlines which areas of reconstruction effort are the most vulnerable to waste, fraud, or abuse, or just programs going wrong. The list also helps the armed services focus their reconstruction efforts and correct problems. Here to discuss this year's findings and their implications is Deputy SIGAR Gene Alois. He joins me now. Great to have you back. Thanks for joining me.
Hey, thank you.
All right, so this year, I mean, this is the last year, I guess next year, 2015, is really the last year of major operations by the military. And so what in the tail of our departure remains on the high-risk list?
Well, this year we have seven issues on the high-risk list. The first, of course, is corruption. Corruption is the biggest threat to the reconstruction effort, as well as the very existence of the Afghan state. Also on the list is sustainability, the capacity and capability of the armed forces of Afghanistan, on-budget support, counter-narcotics, contract management and oversight, and strategy and planning. Those are the seven areas we believe we should shine a spotlight on and focus our efforts and the agency's efforts to fix what's wrong with these issues.
All right, so let's talk about corruption and rule of law. You said that's a threat to the Afghanistan state itself, which means the whole mission would be have been in vain, I guess, really. And so who is corrupt and how does the corruption affect the existence of the state, possibly?
Well, corruption is endemic. It's throughout every aspect of the Afghan government, the Afghan society. You know, we've been dealing with that for years in the reconstruction area. And many of our reconstruction dollars have been wasted because of corruption. And unless that's addressed, and we think we have some hopefulness towards this fixing this problem with the new president, you know, unless that's addressed, it's going to really impede our work that we've done prior and whatever we're going to do in the future in Afghanistan.
What forms does this corruption take? The acceptance of bribes for every little thing, that sort of thing?
It's basically a way of life. It's in bribes. It's in kickbacks. Our investigative side of our house has had success, in finding some of the bad guys and putting them in jail. But we've got a very small shop, and there's only a limited amount of success we can achieve.
I mean, that's in many ways, when you say it's endemic and corruption is kind of soaked into the society, it gets to the way people are born and raised, really.
That's right. So it's a very hard thing to fight, but it has to be addressed. And it's the number one issue on our high-risk list.
And you also mentioned sustainability. That means sustainability of the government itself?
Well, it means everything. Sustainability of everything we've tried to do with our reconstruction effort, building the Afghan National Security Forces, healthcare, education, everything we tried to do over there. You know, the agencies are making claims as to number of people receiving health care, number of people being educated, the advances women have made. But can all that be sustained? When we leave, as the money starts to, the donor funding starts to dwindle, can all those successes be sustained? And that's a big, big question.
And how are they sustained? What are the mechanisms by which they could be sustained if we're not there?
Well, oversight is a big one, and that's the problem. We're going to be there for as long as we need to be, using oversight as a means to see if we can sustain what we've constructed over there. But, you know, it's a big question that we'll have to see how it works out.
And the people over there from the United States that remain, as you say, there will be a small tail of people there for a long time. Will they be mostly military or State Department?
Well, there'll be agency officials, obviously, USAID, State Department, DOD folks. We'll still be there. But the problem is, you know, security is a big, big factor over there. And if they can't get out to monitor these projects to see how they're working, if they're being sustained, you know, it's going to be a very big problem.
We're speaking with Gene Alois. He is the Assistant Special Inspector General for Afghanistan Reconstruction. And so that gets down to the issue that's third on your list, which is the Afghan National Security Forces and whether they are really capable of sustaining what it is that we wish them to do.
Right. I mean, more than half of the reconstruction funding, over some $65 billion, has gone to the development of the what's called the ANSF, the Afghan National Security Forces, their capacity and their capabilities, and developing them into a fighting force. The question of whether or not that force can be sustained is a looming one.
And so that means within that force, probably one of the issues is corruption also.
Oh, obviously. We're looking at whether or not there are ghost soldiers being paid. The fact that they have to be paid is a big problem. If they don't get paid, that force probably will not last. So we're looking at whether they're getting paid, how they're getting paid. Are the numbers that they're saying they're really there? There's a lot of work to do looking at the security forces.
I guess in many ways, the Afghanistan issue is part of the whole bigger puzzle of sustainability of everything we've done throughout that region.
No, absolutely. It's a big challenge to U.S. policymakers. It's easy to pour money into a country. It's another thing to see if what you were trying to do, actually you did do correctly, and can it be sustained to keep society together.
Now, as the watchdog, that's what the Special Inspector General for Afghanistan Reconstruction Office is the watchdog over this. And in some ways, you're like the Jeremiah sounding the prophetic warnings. Who is listening to what you're saying, and who's responsible for what happens after the end of next year when most of the military action by the United States is over with?
Well, our reports are sent to the Congress and to the administration, the executive agencies, state, DOD, and USAID. And actually, a lot of people are listening to us. We've seen some very substantial changes in there since we've started aggressively reporting some of our findings for probably going on 3 years now. We've seen changes in the military. We've seen changes at USAID and state. And we've seen changes at Congress. So we are getting our message across. It's not too late to fix some of this stuff. But Cigar was created late in the game, around 2008. Money started flowing in at 2002. So there's a lot of money we didn't have a chance to see if we're spending correctly.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, we've been discussing the programmatic implications of all of this, of the failure. What is the economic outside limits to what could be, how much of this could all cost if things go wrong?
Well, so far we put in, just for reconstruction, $104 billion. You know, they're planning on giving Afghanistan, the donors are, another $5 to $8 billion a year for the next 10 years. So there's a lot of money still in the pipeline. There's like $14 billion still in the pipeline to be spent by the United States, in addition to all the money that we've promised for the next 10 years. So that actually will very greatly impact the Afghan economy.
And are there people in Afghanistan that those from the United States feel they can actually trust if, say, they go to a school or a hospital or some installation to oversee the work there? Are there people there that can be trusted?
Well, hopefully, yes, there are. And we're trying unique ways to conduct that oversight ourselves. We'll be looking at using third-party monitoring. We'll be looking at geospatial remote monitoring. You have to trust but verify.
I mean, trust really is the basic ingredient in the United States of all the procurement systems we have, all the construction systems, the way the government operates. Ultimately, trust is the ingredient that makes it all work, correct?
That's a big part of it, yes. But as I mentioned, you do have to verify it, and that's what oversight is all about.
And so sometimes verification requires the point of a gun to carry it out. And can this all work without the United States having that particular incentive, let's put it?
Well, certainly we were able to get out in the prior years because we had the U.S. military backing us up in the areas we were going. It's going to be much more difficult now to get out and monitor some of these projects. But as I mentioned, we'll be trying different and innovative techniques to do that.
And just review for us briefly, what is the life cycle of the Cigar office for Afghanistan?
Well, we were created back in 2008, and we're supposed to stay in business until funding, the amount of money to be spent reaches $250 million. However, Congress can decide anytime they want what they want to do with Cigar, either continuous or not. But we're going to follow our legislation, and we're going to continue to work till we reach that monetary limit, because, as I said and as you mentioned, the troops are coming out, but the money is not stopping.
Gene Alois is the Deputy Special Inspector General for Afghanistan Reconstruction. As always, great to have you on for that update.
Hey, thanks, Tom. Appreciate it.